I heard somebody else say it. It's a tough act to follow. Good morning. Our scripture passage this morning comes from James, the second chapter, verses 1 through 9. Warning against partiality. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold, rings, and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there or sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. It is not the rich who oppose you. Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, your message comes to us in many ways, and we give you thanks for that. For those who witness with their talent, we give you thanks. For that witness of your word, we give you thanks. And so as we consider in our hearts what you are saying to us this day, may my message be your message. May my words be your words. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, I hope that you received in the mail a stewardship letter, and maybe more importantly, a card. And at the top of that card, it would have said commitment card. And I hope that you will think about what it is that you might want to give to God in the coming year. I know that it's something that has been on my mind. Sometimes it's easy to get concerned and anxious about the future, and to think in a scarcity mode that there won't be enough. You know, there just won't be. And we have our biases. You know, we live in a culture that seems to lift up the rich and seems to give those who have even more. But Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 20, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And James writes in the scripture we just heard, "Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him?" Jesus and James are pointing out that there are things that are more important than how much we have in terms of wealth. It's something that, you know, I admit that I sometimes struggle with. I have been trying to save nickels and dimes and quarters and dollars so that one day I can put down a down payment on a house. For me, that house is what looks like security. And when I'm trying to curb my anxiety, I joke with my husband that we aren't ever going to own another house. We're just going to buy a used travel trailer and park it in our kids' driveways. First one daughter and then the other daughter. And, you know, it sounds a little crazy, but it is no crazier than 23 years ago when we sold our house and went to seminary. So I have to trust that God has it in control. God's got it in control. And one thing that we found is that that surprised us when we moved into the parsonage at New Hope and been living here is that the cost of living here is lower than it was where we were on the edge of Northern Virginia. So praise be to God. So this was in my mind. I was planning out a message, been sort of planning it out for the last 4 weeks or so. Not that I'm so organized that I had it all down on paper. That definitely is not the case. But things happen, events take place, and then there's something else, I think, that we need to talk about. On Wednesday, the Gideons were having their pastor appreciation lunch, and so I was at Olivet Presbyterian Church in Stanton being appreciated, as only the Gideons can appreciate you. And I met the pastor at Olivet Presbyterian Church, Lee Thomas, and in the course of our conversation, Maggie Peterson's name came up. And so someone had asked if I'd heard any news, and the pastor, Lee Thomas, said that there were youth from his church who knew Maggie, and they had been praying for her at church, and we talked about we had all been praying for Maggie. And we were all praying for a miracle. And in this congregation, we were praying for this 13-year-old girl, this lovely person. And we knew, if we never met her, we knew she was lovely because she had lovely grandparents. And so, where's the miracle? I'm thinking it. You're thinking it, probably. And we're probably all thinking, this isn't right. This isn't how things are supposed to go. And I would agree with you. A parent should never have to experience the death of a child, and a grandparent should never have to experience the death of a grandchild. It isn't right. It isn't fair. It isn't within the natural order of things. It isn't. And yet it happens. 12 years ago, I found myself being interviewed by a reporter in front of the church I was serving because the day before, an SUV driven by a Boy Scout leader, a member of my church, that was carrying 4 scouts, was returning from a scouting event, and the vehicle missed a curve in the road and ran into a tree, and of the 5 people in the car, only 1 survived. And it was devastating. This was a small town. Everybody knew everybody. And the question the reporter asked me that day was, in light of what happened, what message are you going to preach next Sunday? And I can't tell you exactly what I said. I babbled for a little while, and then, you know, I wasn't even thinking about, this was Monday, I wasn't thinking about what I was going to say on Sunday, but I knew I had to come up with something. And I said, you know, I think I said, you know, that we needed to grieve. I needed to grieve with people. And finally, I think I stammered something like, God does not kill children. Sometimes bad things just happen. Author Gerald Mann wrote, "The most often asked question is, why do the innocent suffer?" It's the question, the why question is the one that I get most often. It's the one several people asked me last Sunday, why is this happening? I saw, when I came into church last Sunday, the mic stand on the end was empty. Jim was not there, and I got a bad feeling. And we started asking, you know, what's going to happen? Why are things happening the way they are? Well, when I did my clinical pastoral training as a hospital chaplain, I got assigned certain sections of the hospital. Everybody got assigned a section. There were, I think, 8 of us in the program. And I was assigned the emergency room, one of the cardiology units, the maternity ward, and one of the surgical intensive care units. And One day I was called to the maternity ward because a woman was in premature labor with twins, and an ultrasound had revealed that the babies had died in utero. And the father wanted the two little boys baptized after they were delivered. Now, I was still in seminary. I wasn't even officially a pastor yet. And I realized that this was probably not the time to think about doctrine or theology or authority. So I went to Sister Angela, who was the director of the program, and we set up a makeshift chapel in a room, a little room off of the maternity ward, like a little, you know, about the size of a walk-in closet, and you know, we made it into a chapel, into a holy place, and we brought the father in with us, and these two perfectly formed babies, no bigger than the palm of my hand, were there, and we took water, and we blessed it, and we baptized those tiny babies, Anthony and Thomas. A nun and a seminary student with no authority but the desire to ease the pain of a suffering parent who wanted the assurance that his children were with God. And afterward, Sister Angela sat me down in her office and had a talk with me. Now, I don't know if you've, at the time, Sister Angela was in her 70s, and I don't know if you've had any experience with old school Roman Catholic nuns, but they are no nonsense. And they don't pull any punches. And so she asked me, after I sat down, she asked me if it was God's will that caused Anthony and Thomas to be stillborn. And being young in theology and somewhat stupid, I said, I supposed it was God's will because everything was God's will, right? And Sister Angela fixed me with that look, and she said, are you telling me that God could have prevented the death of these children and did nothing? That's the same as saying that God kills babies. Does God kill babies? Explain that to me. Thought about it. I looked into my heart. I found that I could not believe that God kills children. I could not say that all this would be for the best. I could not say that God needed children in heaven. Never say that, by the way, because it's a cop-out. There was a woman and her husband who had longed for these children and who would have loved them deeply, and God wept with them. And Sister Angela was not going to let me off the hook with any easy answer. She was going to make me work it out right there in that chair with her. There are times when life at the cellular level works against us. There are times when the laws of physics take over. Things break down. Cancer grows unchecked. That dark thread of decay sneaks into our lives and robs us of the ones we love the most. The plane engine fails. And God weeps with us. Ultimately, I do know that God will not allow the darkness to prevail in the midst of the faithful. I think there is a day coming when all the crooked things will be made straight and all the dark things will be made light and all the innocent will be vindicated. And I think that is what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. I have seen the goodness of people. I have seen the goodness of God. That's what keeps us going, right? As Christians, that's what keeps us going, that we have choices and we try to make good choices. evil and suffering and tragedy can paralyze us, or we can say, in the midst of all of this, God is with us, God is for us, and there is enough goodness in the world to keep lighting candles instead of cursing the darkness. If God is great and God is good, why do the innocent suffer? It's a fair question. It's a question you can ask God on your knees or standing up at the top of your lungs. But I know that even though I don't have the ultimate answer, there will be a time when I will see more clearly. There will be a time when I see God face to face. There will be a time when I understand. But even though we suffer or we watch the ones we love suffer, we have been bound together into the body of Christ. We have been bound together to stand for one another, even when those we love cannot stand. I was talking to Jim Peterson, and he was apologizing for not being able to sing in the praise band. And he said, my heart's not in it. And I told him, we'll sing for you. We'll sing for you. And that's what we do. When one of us is in trouble, when one of us is suffering, we sing the song, but that person can't sing. And so we'll go forward from this place, knowing that God understands. Jesus Christ on the cross understands suffering, does not abandon us in the midst of it. And so I am thankful for this body of Christ here. I am thankful to be together with you and know that we can sing a new song with one another and that God is with us as well. Amen. Well, having said all that, I will still say it is always a joy to be with you. Do we have other joys or concerns we want to share? All right, so her name is Marley, and we want to pray for a student at South River. Other joys or concerns? All right, well, we want to be in prayer for Don Carolyn's brother and his wife Diane, who are in a car accident or in rehab right now, so want to be in prayer for them. Other joys or concerns? It's okay to have a joy. Thankful for the rain. And this is a very small thing, but I am thankful for Cindy Kite, who was doing some of the decorations outside in the entryway, and for Nancy Colvin, who did all of this amazing stuff in here. That's lovely, and thank you for sharing your talents with us. We appreciate that. Any others? It was a very good experience. I don't know. I mean, I've said that before, but not every year. So, yes, it was. And it's over. And that's, yay! That's the best part. That's the best part. So, but, yeah. Victor Gomez prayed wonderful prayer for this congregation and over me. And he is just a prayer warrior, and he prayed for all of us. Any others? Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, you who created us, you who redeemed us, you who sustain us, we come to you, and you know that our hearts are full. You know what it is that even though we cannot always find words for the things that we need to pray about, we give you thanks that your Holy Spirit has words for us when all we can think about comes out in moans. Lord, we give you thanks that you hear us. And Lord, help us to always be willing to pray, to lift up whatever it is, the things that light us up, the things that weigh us down. Lord, help us to share them with you. For in that sharing, there is release, there is transformation, there is recreation. I pray this morning for this congregation. I give you thanks for this congregation, for they are wonderful, amazing. Lord, I pray for those who are in need of healing, whether it is from broken hearts or broken bodies. I pray that you would pour out healing upon them. This morning, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you would give them strength, that you would give them hope, that you would give them faith in the power of the resurrection to bring new life. Lord, continue to keep us in love with you. Continue to keep us strong for one another. Continue to help us to shine the light of Christ outside of these walls, that light that offers light in the darkness, that light that leads us on. In the name of Christ, I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I believe we have a mission moment.
Good morning. So first of all, I just want to say thank you for being here today. I think we take for granted the fact that there are 100+ other things that we could be doing on a Sunday morning, and the fact that you choose to come and be here is very important, and I think we, like I said, take that for granted a lot of times. And you are such a gift to us at Bethany. You are such a gift to me personally. And so I thank you for your continued presence, not only here, but in my life. I also want to thank you so much on behalf of missions. I am just overwhelmed. You may have noticed lately that we are asking a lot of you. We are talking about stewardship. There are 100 different mission opportunities going on. And you all are just stepping up and responding. We had 24 shoes, and they were all taken last week before the second service even started. That's incredible. We have maybe a dozen apple tree gifts left, maybe a little bit more, but so many of those have been taken. We had 71 to start with. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for continually giving of yourself and your time and your energy. And blessing those around you with your gifts. Also, I just want to remind you, friendly reminder, that Apple Dumplings is coming up, and we really could use your help to sell apple dumplings and to come help make apple dumplings. If you've never come before, it is so much fun. I'm not like just saying that to get you there. It really is a lot of fun. So thank you again for everything that you do for this church and for the community. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward for the morning offering. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for this day. The rain is coming down, and we are dry, mostly. We might be a little damp around the edges, but that's okay. Lord, we give you gratitude for all those things that we often forget to say thank you for. Food and clothing and fellowship and all of those wonderful things that we don't have to worry about. But Lord, help us to use our gifts well. Help us to use them for those who are in need. Help us to use them to continue to do your work in the world. All these things I pray in the name of Christ. Amen.